Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and belief expressed on this show may not be the same as those of KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas.
Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and David Harris is with us, the Hillcrest preacher at Church of Christ there, and we're just so thankful that you're here tonight and in our audience. And I know that as we begin to discuss our issues tonight, that you're going to be very interested in what we have to say. And let me remind you that this is a live call-in radio program, and we want you to call in at 254-445-2473 or feel free to email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. And also, be sure and check out the webpage that we have here. And I can't remember what the webpage is, but David will tell you what it is in just a moment. But before we get into our issues tonight, I want to remind you of a couple of things that are going on right now, presently, at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, where David preaches, are having a gospel meeting with a outstanding preacher, Richard Massey. And he is... Each evening it starts at 7 p.m. Tonight, the topic is going to be Jesus, the Judge of All the Earth. And if you've never heard Richard Massey preach, you'll want to listen in. You'll want to come hear him because he's an outstanding gospel preacher. And also, at the church at De Leon, Rick Popejoy, also another outstanding gospel preacher, is preaching. And his theme is Desperate Households. And he's talking about the family and God's way of holding the family together. And so we're just so thankful that you're here with us tonight. We pray that you will call in if you have any questions or comments. And David, lead us into what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Well, last week and even the week before, we devoted an awful lot of time on the election process that is going to take place locally at De Leon concerning the legalization of alcoholic beverages within the city limits of De Leon. And with this week, we're going to go beyond that because we have a special privilege as Americans. We have a special privilege as Christians, actually, to go out and vote and select our representatives, those individuals who are running for office who will best represent the Christian thought process, the biblical thought process, that would best represent the godly righteousness of God, those individuals we are supposed to select to represent us as Christians. I would like to read one little quote from Noah Webster, taken back in 1832, concerning this voting process of the United States of America. He says, quote, "When you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God." And that comes from the History of Our United States by Noah Webster. Friends, when we are talking here about voting, it is something that a Christian should take very, very seriously because, Tom, we're going to appoint individuals to go up there and represent what we believe through the Bible, what the Bible teaches. We're going to send those individuals to represent us. Now, we need to know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, if those people can represent us in the way that God tells them to represent us.
You know, that's right. And you quoted from Noah Webster a moment ago. I'd like to quote another thing that he wrote. He said, "In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children free under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intended to secure the right and privileges of a free people.
Amen.
Now, if we want to be the kind of nation that's going to prosper and be the kind of nation that's going to be pleasing to God, we need to get religion back into our government. And a lot of times, David, people are afraid of that very thing. They talk a lot about separation of church and state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the Bible never taught that, and our forefathers never taught that as well. And that's one of those lies that people believe. We need religious moral values in our government, and we can go a long way in striving to help that very issue by taking opportunity to vote this Tuesday.
Right. And you know, there are a lot of people that would want to shy away from God. For the life of me, I don't understand why. Because this nation was based upon godly principles, based upon the principles, the Christian principles that we read about in the Bible. And we are who we are today, not because of the might of our army or our military. We are who we are today because of the grace and the mercy of God.
That's right.
We don't stand on our own. When God gets ready to remove his grace from this country, there's not enough military might in this country to sustain us.
You know, and there are a lot of people today who really seem not to be too interested in being involved in politics and voting. But I want to share with you a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 2. I think it's very important for us. It says, "And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord.'" In other words, the Lord was telling him here, if you sit back and you do nothing to stand for what is right, then you are helping the ungodly.
Right.
And you know, there was also a man by the name of Edwin Burke who said, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing."
Right.
And so if we just sit back and we aren't voting and we aren't involved in the political arena and trying to get righteousness back into our government, then we're just allowing evil men to triumph over good.
Absolutely. Well, we do know that one of the big problems in this country today is that people have been voting with their pocketbook.
Yes.
They're voting people in, "What can you give me?" This is not a Christian concept, by the way. This is a socialist concept. Well, I'm going to vote somebody in there that's going to support me, and I'm going to do nothing. You know, what can you do for me? What can you give me? And this attitude has prevailed over our voting voting booths for the last at least 60 years, since the early 60s, this attitude has prevailed. What can you give me in the way of Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security or rent supplement or you just name it, and whatever it is that the politician can promise, that's the politician that is going to garner most of the votes. We need to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to start looking instead at the righteousness that drives this man. And where does this righteousness come from?
You know, the Bible, David, gives us some information on exactly the kind of person we ought to vote for. Now, I didn't mention Democrat or Republican or Tea Party or the Whig Party,
mm-hmm,
or any kind of parties like that, but it mentions characteristics that men ought to have if they're going to lead the people of a nation. And in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21, it says, "Moreover," now here is Jethro talking with Moses. Moses was having a hard time leading all the people, and so Jethro is telling him the kind of people he needs to use to help him in governing the people. And he says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them." And so here, David, he's telling us the kind of men that we need to be putting before us as our leaders, as our political leaders, are men who fear God, men who hate covetousness, men who are men of truth.
Right. And that is especially important, men that fear God or have a respect for God. Those would be individuals who actually believe God's word and men of truth. And how so important is that, and how we have seen that lately in politics, lying is just as good as telling the truth for some reason or another. evidently, you can't tell the difference. If you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. This is the concept that we've been getting here lately from our own government. Just don't tell anything that is truthful. You just keep telling the lie that people want to hear. And friends, we've got to know better than that. Yeah, we have got to know better than that.
You know, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2 also adds some light onto this subject. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, people groan. Mm-hmm. And so here we realize how important it is for us to have people who are righteous, people who really care about us. You know, after all, David, they work for us.
Right.
You know, they tend to think it's a little bit different, but we elect them and they work for us, and they need to be doing things that's for our best interest and not for their own interest. And we need to realize that as we're going to the voters' booth tomorrow.
That's right. And we've been focusing here for the last couple of weeks on the legalization of the alcohol in De Leon. Tonight, Tom, you and I talked about it. We've discussed it. We're going to focus on some moral issues that will concern this upcoming election. Now, for those of you out there that are listening and want to get in on this conversation, the telephone number to call is 254-445-2473, or you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. By the way, the website is www.keqxpurecountry.com or www.harrisandmore.org. Now, the telephone number again is 254-445-2473. Now, we're going to focus on these moral issues, Tom. A lot of these moral issues have been pushed back in the corner because our economy has come right to the forefront of every issue that is political nowadays, because people are worried about their paychecks, and rightfully so. People are worried about their jobs, they're worried about how they're going to make any money, they're worried about the economic situation of the country. Are people going to be able to buy health insurance? Are they going to be forced to buy health insurance? And this is what is at the forefront. But let's not forget the great moral issues here that sometimes just take a back seat, and we really, really need to focus on these. And here they are. What does the Bible have to say? And after all, this is our motto. You've heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. So now, what does the Bible have to say about abortion? And what does the Bible have to say about the homosexual agenda that has been prevalent now in the political arena for several years? These are two moral topics that will be addressed by our elected officials. When we elect these individuals, they will address these issues. Just because they're not talking about them right now doesn't mean that they're not going to address these issues. And so we need to know where these candidates stand. As you mentioned just a moment ago, Tom, these men and women that we elect to these places, they need to be godly men, godly women. Now, they need to understand what the Bible has to say about abortion, what the Bible has to say about this homosexual agenda that is running prevalent. We'll look at the different aspects of both of these, but what they need to know is what God has to say about it, and what we need to know is what they are going to vote, because they are actually going to represent you, and they're going to represent me once we put them into office.
Exactly right. And you know, the Bible tells us very clearly that it's righteousness
mm-hmm.
that exalts a nation, and not the pocketbook and things of that nature. So we need to be more concerned with the moral issues than we are with the almighty dollar. And that seems to be what we're so much interested in, as opposed to the moral issues. You know, in our core beliefs, David, has to be based upon God's word. And as we're voting, we need to keep in mind that it's not our feelings that we ought to be voting by, for there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14, verse 2. And instead of believing in our own feelings and resting upon our pocketbooks, we need to be more concerned with God and what He says, because it says in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, He says, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps."
Right.
And so as we're going to the voters' poll, we need to keep this in mind. And the issues you brought up are something that are very, very important. The issue of abortion and the issue of homosexuals, their agenda that they're setting forth for us. You know, now, David, there's a lots of different views about this issue of abortion. But you and I, we're concerned more with what the Bible says, aren't we?
Absolutely. It reminds me back in 2008 when President Barack Obama was running for office. I had a discussion with a young lady about why I absolutely would not. I said, this one thing right here excludes me from ever voting for the guy. He is for the promotion of abortion. He is for the promotion of not only abortion, but tax-funded abortion, meaning that you and I are going to pay with our tax dollars to have this abortion. And he's not only for that, but he's also for partial birth abortion. We may even have time to get into what exactly that is later on. But when I was discussing with this young lady, and I told her, I said, that one thing will exclude me from voting for this fella. Because he is all for abortion. He is all for the killing of an innocent child in a womb. And she said, that is exactly why I voted for him. So it's not just a matter of getting the right representative in there. It's about educating the public as to what exactly is going on when we're talking about abortion here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. You know, and abortion is, I don't know how to put it any plainer, David, than it is just simply the murdering of a child.
Absolutely.
That's all that abortion is. You know, the medical field try to sometimes, and those who are for this, try to refer to it simply as a piece of tissue, a fetus. But the Bible very clearly teaches that it's more than just a piece of tissue or just a inanimate object, but it has life. And let me mention one thing to you before we get into the Bible aspect of this. It talks about exactly what abortion is. And the whole issue revolves around a question of the definition of life itself. What is life? Is that actual life in the womb of a mother? How is life defined? Well, according to many medical journals, the following characteristics are given as a definition of life. Here's what life is according to medical journals. It's a reproduction, something that can be reproduced. It has growth. It has metabolism. It has movement. It is responsive, and it adapts. And my friends, the fetus has all of these characteristics prior to birth. Some life forms are unable to move, or at least appear to be unable to move, but many life forms can move, and these six characteristics are cumulative characteristics of life, and the human fetus has every single one of these. And so even in the medical field, at least those who are honest with the facts, agree that it is a living human being in the womb of a mother.
Right. But, you know, if you will remember, Tommy, when we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about terminology, how it is that Satan likes to get a hold of terminology and change terminology. Now, the definition of abortion, very simply, very plainly, is the termination of a pregnancy. It doesn't say what trimester. It doesn't say how early, how late. Simply, the termination of a pregnancy. Now, that definition is going to be hard to change. But now, if Satan can come along and change the definition of life and when life begins, now it throws a whole different light on this. And so this is what has happened. And we have been fed this We have been fed the definition of life according to Dr. So-and-so, or a definition of life according to Dr. So-and-so over here at Duke Medical Center or at Baylor Medical Center, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. And it doesn't make any difference how many letters you put on the backside of that name. They cannot redefine life, which God has defined.
Exactly right.
And God says life begins in the womb, and we have ample evidence of this.
And you know, the Bible also says in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." And that goes just exactly along with what you said, David,
mm-hmm.
that people are trying to redefine terms and trying to make something that's evil look good.
Right.
And that's what's happening with abortion.
Even at the very top of our political structure, our president of the United States is on camera saying that he wouldn't want to punish his children by having them have a child that they did not want. And trying to make something God-given life, something that is God-given life and good, trying to make that as if it were something evil, and they have now the right to destroy it.
You know, if they didn't want that child, Dave, they should have thought about that before they went to bed with somebody.
Absolutely.
And we try to remember when King David,
mm-hmm.
he had sexual relationship with Bathsheba, who was another man's wife. And he tried to hide the whole scenario by the killing of her husband.
Right.
And so there's a lot of people today who are trying to hide what they did by the killing of an innocent child. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what abortion is. You know, when we think about life in the womb and as the Bible presents that, Jeremiah mm-hmm. presents a very powerful argument for life being in the womb and it being an actual person, an actual soul. You'll notice in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, here God is talking about Jeremiah. And he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And so Jeremiah tells us here by inspiration that Jeremiah was produced. He was fashioned and molded, and that word usually describes the potter's action. And so he was formed by God, indicating a deliberate action and a personal interest in him.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, Jeremiah had personality, because God says, "I knew you." Thirdly, Jeremiah, as he was in the womb of his mother, had purpose. Though God had made Jeremiah with a free will, he actively desired him to serve him. And all these points, David, point to something more than viable tissue growing inside of Jeremiah's mother. You know, how many potential preachers, teachers, deacons, elders, Christians in the Lord's church, people who are just good community people, were cut down because their lives and their potential work was overruled by the choice of a man or a woman to delete their life while they were in their mother's womb?
Well, there are countless of them. I am reminded also, you were talking about when life begins here. And this terminology, a lot of the terminology that you like to hear today is terminology such as fetus or tissue or such as that. In Luke chapter 1 and verse number 41, talking about Mary coming in and going to see Elizabeth, in verse 41 it says, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." The babe leaped in her womb. Now, that babe, that word there is the same as fetus, as I understand it. the same kind of translation there. But now when you get over here in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Now, the babe that is wrapped in swaddling clothes has the same connotation as the babe that is in the womb. One is in the womb, one is out of the womb, but the Holy Spirit here sees no distinction as to the person that we're talking about.
That's right. You remember, David, a while back, a good long while ago, when it first came out, was a documentary called The Silent Scream. And in this documentary, they were taking a picture of an abortion taking place. And they would insert the instrument in there, and you could see the fetus and the instrument going in. And as that instrument was going in, you could see the fetus backing up, and you could actually see the fetus looking like it was screaming in pain. Now, that is a very horrible thing. The first time I saw that, I thought I was going to cry. It was so horrible. But that was one of the things that you could see the actual fetus moving. And not only does the Bible talk about this, where the fetus leaped in the mother's womb, mm-hmm. showing action, but also in the medical definition, it is responsive. And
right.
So as something was entering into its private place, its private domain, it began to respond and back away and to scream in agony, the silent scream. My friend, abortion is evil.
No doubt.
Because it is killing innocent children.
Now, what we need to keep at the forefront of this discussion tonight is this. Tomorrow is voting day. Tomorrow we have the privilege and the opportunity to select people that will represent us, represent godly thinking, represent biblical thinking, represent Christian thinking, especially concerning these two moral issues that we're working with tonight. One of these issues is abortion. Now, we need to know where our officials stand on abortion, and we need to make sure that we know. We are going to have to give an account to God on the day of judgment. If we put a person in there that will kill babies, and we know that person in there is going to kill babies, we're going to have to give an account as to why we did that. And there's no way around it.
You know, David, they may not be actually killing the babies themselves, but if they're passing laws whereby this takes place, is that not the same thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's kind of like a general giving an order to an army to go out here and destroy a faction over here that is rising up. And we need to know what these individuals believe. We need to know what they think before we ever vote for them. Because it is this reason, it is for this reason, I don't know how much time we've got here, but it is for this reason that I want to bring up this one thing. Back in January of 1973, or February 1973, we enacted a law. And the law was the Roe vs. Wade law, and it allowed abortion to take place in this country. Have we got a caller on the line? Before I get into the story, caller, would you give us your name and your comment or your question, please?
Yeah, this is, I have a comment, and I want y'all to comment.
Okay.
You're talking about the abortion, it's Barry. Talking about the abortion thing, I have four grandsons, 16 mature. And if it had gone to term, it said it had been 10 pounds. But, he never even went to the NICU when he was born. The others did for about, you know, 2 or 3 days, and then they were out and going, and you know my grandsons, they all go 100 miles an hour. And yet we talk about we can abort babies at 6 weeks before birth. That's nothing but legalized murder is all it is. Now, on the other thing, we're talking about, people not working, being on welfare and able to work. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3, I believe it's verse 10 and 11. I'd like for y'all to read that and then comment on that also, because that's as frustrating to me is parents who sit there and won't do a thing and relay that idea to their kids. And I'll hang up and listen to y'all talk a while.
Well, that is a significant moral issue. I want to finish my thought on this abortion, and I want y'all, please, if you've got a Bible, please take it, because this is something that God's Word has to say to us here. concerning abortion, concerning the shedding of innocent blood. When Manasseh, one of the evil kings, he was an evil leader of Judah. When he was in control, evidently it was the thing to do to shed innocent blood, because God had had enough of it. He had sent armies down there to take control of Judah. And he says in verse 3 of 2 Kings chapter 24, he says, "Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did, and also for the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon." Now, getting back to what I was talking about just a moment ago, all you listeners and Tom as well, in 1973, we enacted a law that allowed us as American citizens, through a law passed by our lawmakers, to kill innocent children. Abortion, we called it. Now, I did a little figure. Since 1973, we have killed 50 million babies. 50 million. Now, with all of the talk about billions and trillions going on right now, sometimes we can't grasp what 50 million is. So I did a little calculation. If you average 10 inches for every one of these little babies that were aborted, 50 million, you can drive from Stephenville, Texas, all the way up to Anchorage, Alaska, and you could line a little baby along the edge of the highway all the way up to Alaska, Anchorage. Then you could turn around in your car and you could come back and you could line the other side of the highway with these aborted babies. And then when you got back to Stephenville, you could turn around and go up to Wyoming and line one side of the road with aborted babies. That's how much innocent blood we have been guilty of shedding in the United States of America. And my question is this, Tom, do you think that would fill Jerusalem with innocent blood?
I believe so. And you know, the Lord tells us exactly what he feels about that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, beginning he says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood."
Amen.
And that is exactly what's going on right here in our nation today. Now, David, we're up against a break. And we need to take a short break here, but when we come back, we're going to mention a few more things about this, then we need to get on to another part of this issue about homosexuality. So we'll see you on the next side of the break.
And we will cover Barry's question on 2 Thessalonians 3 as well.
Blessed assurance.
Do not let the memories of your defeats discourage you. Those defeats happened yesterday. Those mistakes, blunders, follies, the things that shame you and fill you with remorse, they are part of a day that has gone by. Today is a new day. God has given you a new 24 hours. And the best way to put the horrors of yesterday behind us is to fill today with a new and a better effort. Put your trust in God and walk in the old paths that Jeremiah tells us about in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, and good things will happen. Paul the Apostle said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose," in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And then again he said to the Philippian church in chapter 4, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Friends, let's focus on the future. I'm David Harris, preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and I invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning. Bible classes begin at 9:30, worship at 10:30 a.m., midweek Bible classes at 7 p.m., and Sunday evening worship at 6. Make plans now to attend.
Amazing grace.
Friend, this message is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We do not claim to be a perfect church, but we strive to be a church sound in doctrine, active in good works, and united in the bond of peace. At Park Heights, we believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Therefore, we insist upon Bible authority for everything that we teach and practice. We believe that we ought to teach what people in the first century were taught, believe what they were taught to believe, and do what they were taught to do. At the Park Heights Church of Christ, we will never intentionally do anything or say anything that would make you feel uncomfortable. We will not ask you to believe anything unless we can give you a Bible authority for it. We want to welcome you to the worship services each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. for Bible class, morning worship at 10:25, and evenings at 6 p.m. We also have Bible studies each Wednesday at 7 p.m. and ladies' Bible class on Thursdays at 10:30 a.m. And we at the Church of Christ at Park Heights would love to have you to come and be our guest.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris here with Tom Moore. And tonight we are discussing some very, very relevant issues concerning our patriotic duty and even our Christian duty to vote and put officials in a place where they can actually represent what we do. We want to invite you to get in on the discussion. 254-445-2473. Call us. If you disagree with us, that's fine. What we want to give you and our purpose here on this program has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And we want to give the Bible perspective on all of this. Also, if you don't want to call us on the phone, you can email us at keqx@rocketmail.com. Now, what we have been considering here for the last 30 minutes is, what does the Bible have to say about abortion and about the homosexual agenda, the two moral topics that will be addressed by our elected officials? We need to understand, and we've covered abortion. We're going to go on to our next issue here. But what we need to understand is that we have the capability tomorrow to put a stop to the shedding of innocent blood in the United States of America. Maybe it won't happen overnight, but we can take a large, giant step tomorrow into controlling this and putting the stop on it, especially the part where we destroy the babies and then ask the good citizens of this country to pay for it, Tom.
That's right. You know, and Barry mentioned a moment ago a question he would like for us to address, and that is the giving of things that are free and the entitlement that people think they deserve. Well, you know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you." So this is the command of God, David.
Mm-hmm.
He says that if any of you would not work, neither should he eat. Remember, David, we are developing in our country a sense of entitlement where people are always saying the government owes me, they owe me this, they owe me that. But you know, when the welfare system first began, they were required to work to receive their welfare benefits. You know, they'd get there, maybe had to bus rock or pick up rocks or pick up trash. It was not something just given to them for free, but something they had to work for. Now, we're not talking about people who may have a disability, who are unable to work. But, you know, David, there are millions, perhaps, of people out there who are receiving free handouts from our government who simply choose not to work, who could work if they just put an effort forward.
Well, we've become a nation of enablers.
Mm-hmm.
We have little by little, and I've been putting together some information about this very thing. It's kind of interesting that somebody would call in and ask about this thing. But we have become a nation, not as a whole, but right at 50% of this nation wants something for nothing.
Exactly right.
And when you have 50% of the nation that wants something for nothing, when it comes time to select an official to represent them, they're not going to cut off the gravy train. They still want something for nothing. Now, what we need to do is reinstill that American vigor that once existed and stop being the enablers that we have become. We have taken a perfectly good capitalistic system of government that our founding fathers initiated at the beginning of this country and put it in writing with the Constitution. That we are a capitalistic, that is, have the freedom to get out there and make a living and to decide what that living is worth. We have that ability, Tom, and they're trying, the government, through the elected officials that we put in there, they are trying to snatch away the freedom that we have of capitalism, and they're trying to reinstill socialistic type of a government which says, whoever it is working, you're going to have to give to those that don't want to work because we have become the enablers and we're not going to let them die off. I'm not literally, but the voting wise, we're not going to let them disappear. We're going to continue to give them those things that they want.
You know, David, I just wonder if there are a lot of people out there who may disagree with the abortion issue and say, you know, we ought not to kill these little children.
Mm-hmm.
But they're afraid to vote against those people who are for that because they are the very ones that are providing for them this free handout. And so if they were to vote against some politician who is against or who is for abortion, the same one who's going to give them the free handout, they might ignore that moral issue because they're more interested in their own selves than they are what is right and godly.
We have lost a sense of godliness in this country that existed 50, 60 years ago. We have lost that sense of godliness. I'm not saying it's not there. I'm saying that we need to reinvigorate something that has been lost. We need to get the book back out. We need to be teaching the book. We need to be teaching what is right and wrong according to God. And we need to get that message across just as hard and as fast as we possibly can. Because if we don't have the right information ourselves, there is absolutely no way that we can elect somebody to represent what we ought to be believing if we don't know even what God would have us to believe.
Right. And you know, David, another moral issue that's really plaguing our world is that of homosexuality.
Absolutely.
You know, they're wanting to have equal rights, and people are saying we cannot legislate morality. But that is the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
No doubt.
Because whenever you say that it's illegal to kill someone, that's legislating morality. When you're saying that it is wrong to steal another man's car, that is legislating morality. And homosexuality is a moral sin, and the Bible states that very clearly, doesn't it?
No doubt. It is a sin that will condemn a soul to hell, and we're not saying that we hate an individual or that we dislike an individual, but as the Hebrew writer puts it in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9, Jesus loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Whatever Jesus loved, I'm to love. Whatever Jesus hated, I am to hate. He hates the sin, but he loves the soul. And that's where we stand on this issue. But this homosexual agenda, this thing has become radical, Tommy. Mm-hmm. It has become radical to the point where these individuals are totally unsatisfied with just leave me alone, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you just leave me alone. No, they want to put it up in everybody's face. They're totally unsatisfied with living in a homosexual arrangement off somewhere. They want to take it to court. They want to totally disrupt and tear down God's plan for marriage and the home.
Exactly.
And they want to do it through the courts. They want it to be made legal through our governmental system. The problem is, it doesn't make any difference how legal our governmental system says that it might be if they ever get it done. God will never, ever accept it, and that will never be changed.
And that's exactly right. And the Bible teaches that very thing. For example, in Romans chapter 1,
Amen.
Beginning in verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, you cannot get any clearer than that, that homosexuality is a sin and God condemns it.
He hates it. He hates that sin. Not only that, and we could just go on and on and on about how bad God hates it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 says, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. You don't get any clearer than this throughout the entire Bible. But when we're talking about this agenda, we're talking about these individuals that are running for office that want to continue to promote this agenda, an agenda that would strive to tear down the family as God would have it. Now there's an awful lot in our Bible that has to say that God deals with and uses to show us how He has set up the family situation. And the family was set up by God. It was not set up by man. It's God's plan for mankind for all of the time that we're going to spend here on this earth. And man is not going to alter it by changing a law. Nevertheless, they're going to try to change the law anyway. And if we continue to put these individuals in high places that can change these laws, what we're going to find is absolute chaos in this country. Because if you destroy the home as God would have it, you will destroy this nation one family at a time.
That's exactly right. And you know, the book of Genesis, for example, is called the Book of Beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book of Genesis, there are many beginnings that take place, but one of these beginnings is the beginning of the family relationship. Now, notice how God defines what a family is made up of. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now notice. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Now notice. Male and female created He them.
Right.
And one of the reasons He created male and female was for procreation.
Absolutely.
And so that's been God's plan from the very beginning. And did not Jesus also allude to this very thing in Matthew chapter 19?
Absolutely, He did. And not only does He allude to this very thing, but there have been those who say that Jesus never said anything against homosexuality. Listen very closely what Jesus has to say in Matthew chapter 19 and beginning in verse number 4. Actually, He's referring to that back to Genesis chapter 2, the passage that you were referring to just a moment ago. He says, "Have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And you notice there, he for this cause he shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. That is the authority that we have for marriage. No other authority do we have for any kind of a marriage or any kind of a living arrangement except a man and a woman under the bond of matrimony.
You know, in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve.
Absolutely.
Not Adam and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Male and female were to be the family relationship. And just how serious is this, David? Well, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and following, that homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
And when our government begins to pass legislations that gives them special privileges, what are they doing? They're just promoting evil and sinful lifestyles. Whereas if that was deceased, if we did not have those special privileges for immorality, then a lot of that might just go away and the people quit doing it. So right. We need to be careful about who we vote for, because we want people who are going to vote against destroying the God-given family relationship that God has set forth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and also that which Jesus alluded to in Matthew chapter 19.
Well, actually, we need to stop and reverse a lot that has already taken place in here. We've got junior high kids, high school kids. They're confused about their sexuality. They're confused about where they came from. They're confused about a lot of things. They ought not to be confused. And one of the reasons they're confused is because of the laws that have been made in this land by our elected officials.
Yes.
We've got a few minutes left here, Tom, and what I would like for us to do, I would like for us to alert the voting public now of two platforms. We're talking about people that are going to represent us. Where do these people come from? What do they believe? What platform are they running on? And we need to understand this, because they may not come out and say directly what they believe and what they don't believe. But if they're standing on this platform, they are saying, this is the platform on which I stand. I am of this party. I am of that party. I need you to know what it is that people stand for before you vote for them.
You know, what we're going to be looking at in our last few minutes here is a website. It's www.ontheissues.org, and you can put /Democrat or /Republican to find out exactly where they stand on the issues and exactly where they stand. For example, we're going to be looking at the Democratic Party for a moment in the civil rights issue portion of this, and we're going to see here what they teach in regard to the belief of homosexuality. And the Internet's kind of slow. Here we come right here. Here's what they believe. They believe, and this is what the Democrat Party believes, and it's what their agenda is, and you need to realize this. It talks about how that we need to keep marriage at a state level and no federal gay marriage bans. It talks about also how that we should pass hate crimes legislation, including that of gays. Well, you know what that does, David?
Mm-hmm.
If you teach against homosexuality in the pulpit, they can accuse you of being involved in gay bashing or being involved in a hate crime. And so these things are very important for us to realize. They are promoting the very things that we know the Bible discourages. You'll notice also in regard to the Democratic platform, in regard to abortion, they believe that we ought to invest money in stem cell research, also that we ought to pursue embryonic stem cell research, and we ought to support the right to choose and even pay for abortions that are taking place. Now, I don't know about you, David. I don't want to be paying for the murdering of little children.
I don't want it to happen, period, but I certainly don't want to pay for it. And this embryonic stem cell research that everybody seems to be so hung up on, it has already been proven that the adult stem cell research will produce the very same results as the embryonic, and yet they want to continue the destruction of human babies in order to get this done. Now, when you look on the Republican Party platform concerning abortion, they say that we want to promote adoption and abstinence, not abortion, clinic referrals. They want to put a human life amendment to the Constitution, which would mean that you cannot kill this innocent baby that has no say. They also are considering a ban abortion with a constitutional amendment and using alternatives such as adoption instead of a punitive action. Now, that's what they have to say on abortion. On the civil rights, here's what they are advocating. They are advocating this. Homosexuality is incompatible with military service. And I'm so glad to hear somebody say that. This is only good common sense, Tommy, that someone would come up and say it is absolutely and totally incompatible. Now, this is going to lose lots of votes for some people, but the people that are standing on this platform, they don't care. They're going to vote what is right, and by the way, we have already seen this is right according to the Bible.
That's right.
They say that states should not recognize gay marriages from other states, any other states. And so we've got two different viewpoints here as to what these individuals believe and what they don't believe. And with that, I believe we've just about run out of time. We're just about at the end of it. But may I say this, and then I'll let you have the last word, Tom. We here want to teach people what the Bible has to say about issues. We have never backed off of a controversial issue ever on this show, and I'm so thankful that we have the platform to do that. But all we want people to know is what the Bible has to say about these issues. Now, tomorrow, we as patriotic Americans, we as concerned Christians, families, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, we have the capability to stop immorality in this country tomorrow. And all we've got to do is go and vote like the Bible wants us to vote. Go and vote the righteousness of God, because that is what has exalted this nation for the 200 some odd years that we've been in existence. And I'm going to sign off by saying God bless our troops and God bless America.
You know, both David and I agree that we do not hate the homosexuals. We do not hate those who are involved in abortions, but we hate what they're doing. We hate the sin. We hate the immorality. And we need to realize that we can always come back to God. And again, as David mentioned, tomorrow you have the perfect opportunity to make your voice be heard. And remember that Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Do your God-given duty tomorrow, serve your country, and vote. Until then, we pray that God would bless you, and as you do His will.